We'll focus on the broader issues so that our guests can join, and then we'll get to the local read. So, just to ground ourselves. So, if you remember, Chet Hay is discussing distinctions in cases when you are allowed to pay for certain work with Dmei Peretz Shviit, and when you cannot. And the organizing theme, as Kobi had noted, was water. Right, it was water, and therefore the Gemara distinguishes between cases with people who are digging wells for different purposes and the like. And as we noted, just to review where we are, in order to understand this, so you need to understand first of all the status of water in general, water for food in Shemitah, water for non-food purposes in Shemitah, what enjoyments and hana'ot are permitted with Shemitah produce, the distinction between work and paying for the product, right? All those things are caught up in it. But what?
Why is it considered like really?
That's correct. That's exactly the point, right? That's what the Gemara brings up, is the possibility that Mayim and Melach and other contexts in Halacha are not really food, and Maaser Sheni and the like, right? It holds an in-between status.
In Halacha, it's not really considered.
In bracha also, right? If you drink, there are certain cases where you drink water and there's no bracha, right? Again, yes, water has a certain in-between status, where in certain senses it is food, in certain senses it is not. But then, as we noted, the Yerushalmi then pans out into a very bizarre discussion, which is, well, in Kvar, we're talking about water, and its status is food and necessary for life and all that. Let's point out that the Shemitah halacha discussion is not localized. It's actually part of a larger discussion about water. And then the Yerushalmi introduces a shocking discussion. So let's review this, and let's see if I can. Mordechai already gave me the, wonderful facial reactions to this Yerushalmi. But let's see what Aryeh does, because he hasn't heard it yet. So here's what it says: Na Tani. In this context of water, the Braita then says, right, this is halfway through the Yerushalmi. Ma'ayan shel b'nei ha'ir, a spring that belongs to the people of a city. Hein va'acherim, if the choice is between them and others. Hein kodmin la'acherim, you take precedence over others. Okay, that's normal. Acherim uvehemtan, if the question is whether you other people can drink the water, or you can provide your animals with water, achirim kodmin livehemtan. Other people's drinking precedes your animals. But kvisatan v'chayei achirim, but if the choice is your laundry or other people's lives, kvisatan kodemet l'chayei achirim. Your laundry precedes their life. Right? Your laundry is more important than their life. Right? That is the Yerushalmi says. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mantana, Shekvisa chaye nefesh. Who holds that laundry is at the status of pikuach nefesh? Rabbiosi. It's Rabbiosi Ditani. What? Chaye nefesh. It is life. Well, that's what we have to define. Ditani ain notin mehem lo mimishra velo lekvisa. Because the Braita says you're not allowed to give perot shviit, right? And this is how we tie it back into shviit. You don't use perot shviit for soaking water for flax, right, or for laundry, because that hana'ah doesn't count, right? That's not the right type of hana'ah. Rabbi Yossi matir b'kvisa, and Rabbi Yossi says you are allowed to use it for laundry. Now, of course, this is like proving too much, right? You could have just said, well, laundry is considered one of those hana'ah you're allowed to use for Shemitah produce, which, as you know, it's already more expensive. But no, the Yerushalmi decides to connect two statements, which is that you're allowed to use it for Shemitah, and it takes precedence over other people's lives, right? You know, whatever, those are...
Your life by laundry, no shaychus, obviously.
Exactly. And the Gemara says, aha, don't you see there's a stira, mechafla shita de Rabbi Yossi, that there's a contradiction of Rabbi Yossi, because Taman, later on, he says, hu amar ein rachitze chayei nefesh. He says that bathing is not considered a chayei nefesh, and therefore, in the context of the types of nidarim that a husband is allowed to nullify for his wife, which are things which are chayei nefesh, he says if she swears to never shower again, he is not allowed to undo that, because he thinks that's not a shvuah sheish bo chayei nefesh. V'cha u'amar kvisa chayei nefesh, and here he says laundry is, and the Gemara gives the obvious answer, obviously. Amar imana, adam megal gabarachitza, you can survive without ever showering. right? Ve'ena the megalgal bekvisa, but you can't survive if you never do laundry. There is the very wonderful,
cool laundry.
Right, right, beautiful, right? This is one of those, right? This is one of those, Gemaras. If it wasn't the Gemara, you would say it's one of those weird achronim that I'm going to now ignore and not look at because I don't know what you just said. That all makes no sense, right? But since it's the Gemara, you're like, okay, this just is asking for great lamdus. Now, in there is a longer version of this in the Bavli, Nedarim Pe Amud Bet to Pe Aleph Amud Aleph. I will just read you the addition there. Rami de Rabbi Yossi or de Rabbi Yossi. There seems to be a contradiction of Rabbi Yossi. Ma'ayan shel b'nei ha'ir, chayehen v'chayei acherim. Your life and other people's lives, chayehen kodmin l'chayei acherim. Your life comes from others. Behemtam v'hemen acherim. Your animals and other people's animals. Behemtam kodemiz l'hemen acherim. Your animals come first. Kvisatan kvisat acherim. Your laundry and their laundry. Kvisatan kodemin l'kvisat acherim. Your laundry comes first. Chayei acherim u'kvisatan. Your laundry and their life, chayacherim kodem l'kvisatan. Their life takes precedence over your laundry. Reb Yossi omer kvisatan kodem et l'chayacherim. Yossi says, like he says here, no, your laundry goes before their life. Hashta kvisan riozi yesh batzar guf kulo lo kol shekein. Right? So the Gemara says, wait a second, if laundry is considered your life and causes pain, then shouldn't not bathing also count, like what we have here? So, Omri, Ein, in Kvisa, Alima, Rabbi Yossi, Damar Shmuel, Hari, Arbuvita, Deresha, Matili, David, Yivira, Arbuvita, Demone, Matili, Lide, Shamimuta, Ruvuta, Degufa, Matili, Shichne, Vichive. He says, no, laundry is worse. Not doing laundry is worse. Because the grime on your head leads to blindness, the grime on your clothes leads to madness, and the grime on your body only leads to boils and sores. And therefore, boils and sores are not as bad as not doing laundry, which will lead you to insanity. Yes.
So apparently blindness is
yes. So, yeah. So blindness and insanity are worse. Washing your head apparently is up there. But washing the rest of your body, you could get away with never taking a shower for the rest of your life. Just clean your hair. Just your hair. As long as you clean your hair and your clothes, if you never shower for the rest of your life, you'll be fine. You'll have some boils on your body, but nishkefrela. Who cares, right? But if...
Where does he get these ideas? Exactly.
Very good. Okay. So as I said, this is a very, very, very odd Gemara. So let us try to figure out... Right? So as I said, let's try to figure out what is going on. Okay, so let's throw out some possibilities. So, I promised that this would be more outside, so it worked to bring people in. So, I mentioned to you a very shocking thesis by Rif Tendler. Why don't we start that, just to get the conversation rolling here. Okay, Rif Tendler has a... first of all, I should note that there is a machloket in the Rishonim, how we paskin. Okay?
Hopefully it's not like Rivius.
So many people think we do. For example, the Shilta, the Rav Chaigon seems to pass Rabbi Yossi. It's possible the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yossi.
Nowadays it would be different though.
You're right, because I can't go more than like one day without a shower.
Because clothes
I would go crazy.
Clothes are valued differently than they were back then.
What?
A ton of lots of pairs.
You're right. You don't have to do laundry. You could just throw out your clothes and buy new ones.
Yeah. No.
You spoiled person. Yeah. Yes, sure. The machine does it for you.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you're home, it just, right? The machine just gets done, right?
I just walk into my room and I see clothes folded on my bed.
I know, it's magic. It's amazing. Who knew? Why would anyone have ever worried about this if they just knew that all you have to be is a teenage boy where everything just happens by itself? It's like magically. What? I know the elves that did all your laundry when you were living at home, suddenly they didn't come with you to Yeshiva. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, weren't those things that like built the shoes for that?
Yes, those elves. Okay, so
whatever. What's the Rav Tendler?
So Rav Tendler has a very fascinating short article. And this is how he reads the Gemara. Okay? What?
What's it called?
It's called Ba'ayot Bekadima Bahatzala Taktiva Tziburi V'dichui Nefesh B'pnei Nefesh. Okay? Yes. So first he gets into a little bit of a question about medical precedence. But then he comes up. Okay, I want you to see. He has a radical way of reading this Gemara. And he says as follows. Yesh she'ela mugdemet. I have a prior question. She'ein ba'kol hipotus shel mi yechev miyem. But it doesn't even connect to the hypothesis of who shall live and who shall die. She'esh b'chrad chole achad meharbeish m'vakshim asarav alupachot ritzini. He said, listen, we can talk about which sick people you should give precedence to. But I have a bigger question. It has to relate, v'hi b'chlatar hachevra o atzibor b'nyanei taksiv, which has to relate to how governments deal with allocation of funds. He says, "Im be'emet efshar lefi chukei ateva lahatzil kama nefashot yidei hashtalot kliyot o lev o kaved o yidei shimush machshir dialysis." He says, "Let's say
dialysis, random right? English words.
It's in parentheses, yes." He says, "Let's say it is possible to save a lot of people's lives through kidney transfers or heart transfers or liver transfers or dialysis or whatever. Well, whatever." The health system costs a lot of money. Yes, agreed. We're agreed. It does cost a lot of money.
It comes out of your taxes instead of your.
Yes, and therefore it does. No. The point is, it costs money. Maybe not your money. It costs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Meaning it costs money. That was the only point. Okay, health things cost money for somebody. Yes? Do we agree?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Look, amazing. I know you... Okay, socialized medicine, I know this is will come as a shock, does not mean that it doesn't cost money. It means that someone else pays for it. I know this is a huge chiddush. Wild chiddush. Yes. You know, it's not... Okay, I think... I'm going to venture a guess that even your hardened libertarian, right... fiscal conservative
government.
Okay, even someone who thinks that the government should not be involved in anything, if the second you turn to socialized medicine, all medicine became free and no one was paying for it, you have to call it socialized medicine and suddenly, magically, all people...
dope. Can we
right?
turn everything
into... If that worked, I think everyone would agree, oh sure, America should go to socialized medicine because, voila, once you do it, nobody pays for anything. Nobody has to pay. It just happens. Right? Medicine and doctors will start growing on trees, right? Which don't have to be planted. They'll be like weeds, right?
Like weed?
Yeah. No, not like weed, like weeds, right? That's not how it works. So Rav Tendler then says, here's my Shiloh, right? Listen, Mordechai, this is Rav Tendler's Shiloh, okay? Rav Tendler says, before you get to the question of how you should allocate, right, the complicated questions, right? What his original article was about how much money do you allocate between, let's say, intensive care and other health things, right? Because if someone is already, if you devote all your money to the people who at the moment is mamash bikuach nefesh, right, to intensive care units and things like that, then more people will end up in those intensive care units because you're not dealing with the
long term,
right. You can save a lot more people with cancer screening, let's say, right, than chemo, right. That's why, by the way, in Israel, for example, Israel, in order to keep its bills down, one of the things that it does is it's obsessive about preventative medicine, right? Obsessive, as you saw with the vaccines, right? It's obsessed, right? Because we'd rather spend $1 billion on, right, vaccines than, you know, $1 billion on you know, putting everyone on ECMO, right? That's how they call it in Hebrew, the ECMO machines, right?
Are they like CPAPs or something?
No, whatever. It's one of the whatever. ICMO, whatever it is. The whatever it is. Right, but that's why also like you understand the reason that Israel ended up being the right the be able to provide data the way it did for the whole world with vaccines, it's not just that. It's because the way the system is organized is that any doctor you go to can see all your basic things and will say, like, there are certain things built in the system. Like, oh, they'll check on your weight. So that no matter where you go, right? Because they want to have all these reminders, because... So Rav Tendler's point is, right, it's very hard to figure out how much money you should spend on preventative medicine, on things that will prevent getting to Pikuach Nefesh and Mamash Pikuach Nefesh now, right? A government has to make those calls, right? Not as easy as just saying, run to Pikuach Nefesh. But Rav Tendler says, wait a second, I have a prior question, which is... we have just acknowledged there's a limit to how much money we can spend on any particular life-saving thing because you need to spread your resources. But that's not the only thing governments spend money on. Right? We also said, he said, hey, im mutar lechevra lo tikas b'mishul brechot shchiya. Right? Is it mutter for governments to spend money on swimming pools? O gan tziburi, or parks? O l'tmichat muzikayim v'omanim, or support of the arts and musicians, right? L'chol aesthetika shel hachayim, and all aesthetic concerns. Aesthetika, yes. Kodem shiyeh ezra refu'i l'kol ma shetzarich. So there's a more basic question. Even if you want to say, okay, weighing the person who's already in the ICU versus preventing them from getting to the ICU is pikuach nefesh versus pikuach nefesh. Right? That's not how governments run. Right? That's not how governments run. Right? Governments don't say, okay, everything is pikuach nefesh, and therefore, first, let's fund all the hospitals, and then, right, they have, and then we'll worry about everything else,
so,
right? But why, right? At some level, you should say, listen, pikuach nefesh, pikuach nefesh. So you have to fund, right? All potential money has to somehow be gone in, go into hospitals and doctors and whatever. Okay, right. Maybe education. Without education, people won't. Maybe, I don't know, right? But yeah. Right, okay. But what about but? But museums and the arts and sports and yeah. Tourism, right? Why is that legitimate, right? So watch how Sir Tendler looks at this Gemara and says, I have a wild, very mechudash read of this Gemara. Yes, directly from this Gemara. Right? I want to stretch the way you think about Gemaras. I said, that was my goal here, is to stretch the way you can think about the implications. Sir Tendler looks at this Gemara and comes up with a thesis. And he says, so he says, I'm going to start you off. He says, well, the Nedarim, Rabbi Yossi says, Kvisatan kodemet l'chaye acherim. Right? Point one. The She'ilto says, V'taim amai mishim d'shmuel amar abivusa demona zilde shiamum. He says, V'hine alacha zut mu'amot. This Gemara is shocking. He says, I look at this sugya and I say, so what? So you'll go crazy because your clothes are dirty. And that overrides chaye acherim.
You are no longer living.
So he says. So he says. Okay. So someone look at this Gemara and tell me what. Okay. Let's try to read the Gemara. Okay. I know Ari, you weren't with us, but how to read? How do you read the Gemara? Okay. What is the answer? What is Rabbi Yossi thinking? How could it be that Kvisatan kodemet l'chayecherim?
You mean,
so what could you do?
You preface with your...
So let's add the line in the Bavli, which is that if you don't do laundry, it leads to shiamul, right? It leads to insanity. So what options, what directions do you have?
Assuming that that's true.
Rebbe.
Assume that's true. Assume the Gemara is...
Insanity is considered death.
What?
Insanity is considered
death. Okay, yeah, so one direction is what the Netziv does. The Netziv says it must be that shiamul is actually dangerous, right? Now, he says, right, he tweaks it a little bit, and he says, listen, there's a machloket in general in the Yerushalmi about... Suffix machnes atzmo l'suffix sakana for somebody else, right? Everyone agrees that you have to save somebody else's life if you can. But what if you would
die in the process?
You might die in the process. If you vada you're going to die in the process, you don't have to.
Right.
But what if you might? Do you have to put yourself in suffix danger to save somebody
like,
else?
Like being a spy on
well, whatever, money. Whatever. Being a firefighter, being a. Whatever, right?
Civil service.
So, service. So this is a discussion. Well, so the Netziv says that the machloket Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim hangs on that machloket, that discussion in the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim hold, you are chayev, right? And Rabbi Yossi says you're not. And since insanity might lead you to a dangerous situation, right? Laundry, not doing your laundry might lead you to insanity. Insanity might lead you to I don't know, lose your mind while you're driving and drive off a cliff, right? This is just an expression of that shita that suffik pikuach nefesh.
You don't have to.
You don't have to machnas yourself to suffik pikuach nefesh to save somebody else's life, okay. And that's what Rabbi Yossi is poskening. Okay, that's the nitziv.
That's the very. Like,
he says lefi ani da'ati. He says. He then plays a thought experiment. Okay, Rav Tendler says I think the nitziv is wrong because of the following thought experiment. Okay. He says, should I read it for you or should I tell it to you outside?
I just told
you. Outside? Fine. He says, okay, here's the thought experiment. Two people, Reuven and Shimon, are walking in the desert.
Oh.
And they only have one bottle of water, right? So there's a machloket, Rabbi Kiva and Ben Pitora. Should you split the water and both die? Or one of you drink? So Ben Pitora Paskins, split it and don't see your friend die. And Rabbi Kiva says,
you should drink it.
Ima chayecha kodmin, right? Your life comes first. Okay, that's the machloket. Yes?
Yeah.
Rav Tendler plays the following thought experiment. Okay? This is a very Rav Tendler, like, thought experiment. Okay? Rav Tendler says, okay, I'm going to change it. That's the machloket. Rabbi Kiva and Ben Bittur and Bava Mitzia Samachbet. What if it's like this? Reuven and Shimon are in the desert, and Reuven has two bottles of water, and he said, I could either save myself and save you, right? Or I could save myself and do laundry. So he says, would Rabbi Yossi, do you think that even Rabbi Yossi would say, oh, chayecha kodmin, do your laundry and, have a pleasant time until you get to civilization and let your friend die?
Yeah, why not?
Right, no, that's his thought experiment. He says, do you think Rabbi Yossi would...
How extreme does...
Right? Do you think that he would... There, Rabbi Yossi would buy that.
Not according to the explanation we were just got.
Right, he says... Right, but according to the Tziv, what do you mean? Not doing laundry leads to Shiyamum. Shiyamum is Safik Pikuach Nefesh. You're not chayv to be machnas yourself in Safik Pikuach Nefesh. So shouldn't... According to the Tziv, he says, shouldn't you come to the conclusion that if Rabbi Yossi really thinks that not doing your laundry leads you to... create insanity, and insanity leads you to pikuach nefesh, and you're not chayv to be machnas yourself into safek pikuach nefesh, then even in that case, yes, to prevent yourself from maybe going crazy because you didn't do laundry, right, for too long, and that will lead to you never making it out, you should hoard your water and let the person die so that you can have clean clothes and water.
No, because he holds
right? So what Tendler says, really? No one's going to hold that. No, but he says, at some level, isn't that what emerges from the Nitziv's analysis? Right? So, in order to prevent that reductio ad absurdum, Rav Tendler says, I have a new read of this Gemara. And that is, right? What does he say?
You're not really living life to the fullest.
And therefore what?
And therefore, your life, which involves you doing laundry, takes precedence before saving other people.
So here's what he says. He says, what you have to say is, let's see exactly what it says. He says, the key to understanding these Gemaras is to realize that the Torah conceptualizes communal standards differently than individual standards. That the way community... Right, the way a government, the way a society has to allocate resources is fundamentally different than the way individuals. Now, there's different ways you could say that, right? So possibility one, he says, is that the difference is how much do you have to take into account small possibilities, right? Remote possibilities, right? And this is something that Rav Herzog argues in one tshuva. Rav Herzog goes back and forth a different book, but at one point Rav Herzog makes this argument, which is, pikuach nefesh is different for society on purely statistical grounds. Why? Because let's say that something kills 1 in 10,000 people. So if you are an individual, do you feel or experience this as a danger for you to do it? Minimally. Right? If I told you you have a 1 in 10,000 chance of dying, but if you don't do this, that other person is going to die, I would say, most people would say, that's not a suffix, right?
Yeah.
But if you're a society and you say, if we take this policy, 1 in 10,000 people will die, and you run a country of 100 million people,
then
right,
for sure gonna happen.
Then you've reached a statistical, almost inevitability, that a large percentage of people will die, or that a large number of people will die. Right? So on purely statistical grounds, and therefore, right, he says, purely on statistical grounds, a government has to say. So he says, listen, let's say that insanity, right, not doing your laundry might lead to insanity, and insanity might lead to the Goach Nevesh, in one of 10,000 people, right? So if you're an individual, then it's between you and the other, right, your life and the other person's laundry, sorry, your laundry, the other person's life, you have a 1 in 10,000 chance that not using that water bottle to do your laundry is what's going to kill you, right? But if the city has 100,000 people in it, then they're almost guaranteeing that something around 10 people in their society will die because you didn't let them do laundry, right? And that led to Shiamum, which led to Goach Nevesh, right? So Rav Tendler says, the first thing you got to realize is that the reason that it's plausible to say Kvi Satan, Kodemet, Chaya Cherim, is because even if it's on the off, even if it's a 1 in 10,000 chance that someone will die because it'll lead to Shiamum, so if you're an individual, it's 1 in 10,000. If you're a society of 100,000 people, it's almost definite that 10 people, right, that something is statistically likely that about 10 people will actually die. Right? Right? This is the type of thing that people still don't get in the conversations about, well, anything, right? COVID, right? Like, they don't get this. Or anything, right? Flu. Right? They don't understand that the, you're right, the average person will not die from these. But society can't just say, right? It's not like, well, it's a 1 in 10,000 chance that someone will die, and therefore, right, society should say, well, that's a 0%. Because an individual, if I told you, if you get this, you have a 1 in 10,000 chance that you're going to die, you would treat it as zero, right? But if you're a society responsible for millions of people, you can't treat it as zero because it's definite, right? You have to at least do the calculus.
It's no longer what you have a 1 in 10,000 chance of dying.
You have a X statistical chance that this number of people will die, yeah. Right? Now he gives a piece of evidence for this, right? That the standards of Pikuach Nevesh are different in a community, okay? And that is the Gemara in Gittin Memhei, in the context of Pidyon Shvuyim, right? Says that you're not supposed to redeem captives for more than their value, Mibnei Tikkuna Olam, right? And the Gemara says, well, what does Tikkuna Olam mean?
The
Gemara has two possibilities. Either duchka de tzibura, right? Either duchka de tzibura, which is it puts too much strain on the community, or delo legarvu velaiti tve, is you're encouraging them to kidnap more people. Now, let's go with the second one. Okay? The second one is just saying that when it comes to a society, we have to take a broader calculus, which is, yes, this person might die, but if you pay the demands, you're encouraging them to kidnap more people who you won't be able to pay for, and they will die, right? But what about the first one?
Your convenience is more important as a society than that one person.
Do the ends justify the means?
So the first one, but this is where Rav Tendler seems to offer a second argument, which is, how does Rashi say duchka de tzibura? Is you can't force the government, you can't force society to become poor to redeem this person. Right. Now, why not?
Because their convenience matters more. Very
so not convenience per se, but what he seems to be arguing for is, he says, Yesh din miyuchag shemadim b'taktiv ha-chevra sha'azur la'viyah chevra l'dianiyut sh'lo must be k'safim l'tzarchei tzibur. Right, what you see is that bringing the government, right now the government, society to poverty is a unique category. Right? And you're not allowed to do that even at the cost of pikuach nefesh. Right, even at the cost of pikuach nevesh, and therefore, right, what is he essentially saying? So then he seems to, and in the last paragraph he supports this, to suggest that maybe you have to read this Gemara a little bit differently, which is not just that we gauge the statistic differently, but the quality of life of the community
is
imperative and actually does compete with the actual life of individuals, right? That when you're dealing with a society, quality of life actually can override or at least be a factor in a pikuach nefesh analysis. And therefore, in his last paragraph, he says, "Anyein." Right, there are all types of calculus you need to have, like saving people the government needs. Come on, chacham v'chachmata technologia. Oh, right, atzalat ishto, like giving precedence to scientists, right, who can, or even their family, if that's what is necessary for them to function properly, right? Right, and therefore, right, remember, Rav Tendler doesn't spell it out too much, but he's using this to justify why we should be allowed to spend money on museums. And it seems to me that what Rav Tendler is opening up the possibility from this Gemara is that the quality of life of a community, of a society, right, might even override Pikuach Nefesh. Interesting. Right, and that might be what this Gemara is about.
I know this isn't like straightforward question to answer, but what's the value of the individual versus the value of the community? I know that we like touched on it.
No, so this is a major question, right? So like I said, no, this is a major question. This is exactly it, right? That this, right, is that society in general tends to have a larger weight than the individual, right, as an entity. But anyways, that's what he sees, right? Now, that's the most broad, I think, theories you could derive from this. Right? But there's two other... Wait, but you can minimize it, right? Let me just throw them out one second. There are two other ways you could do that. One is to say, right, is to focus more on, right, his more less expansive one, which is simply that Pikuach Nefesh is defined differently when it comes to the Tzibur, right? And then you could go even more limited and say, specifically, there's something about a community's need for water that makes water unique, right? Which would explain why, at least in the Yerushalmi, right, this is not true in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi, much even more than the Bavli, right, this topic is about water. Remember, what's the context here in the Yerushalmi is what is the status of
water
in the context of Shemitah, how much is it about life, meaning it's about the unique features of water. So it might be that water is unique. Yes, so yeah.
Is it possible to read this thing that's not really a Pikuach Nefesh case, and this is really just for, like, benefits?
Ah, very good. So, the first major limitation is to say, right, all of Tendler's analysis hangs on believing that this is actually Pikuach Nefesh, right? But there's, as one of my Rebbeim once pointed out, there's very good reason to think that that's not true, okay?
Well, specifically laundry or something.
Well, I'll put it the way one of my Rebbeim put it, and then I'll go into some sources. Right, Clapper once put it very seriously, and he said, it's not Pikuach Nefesh. You know how I know it's not Pikuach Nefesh? What will the city upstream, right, or downstream rather, do if City 1 takes all the water for their laundry?
They'll just not do their laundry.
No, they will move. They will move. You think they're going to wait there watching City 1 use all the water for their laundry and just wait there and die? Or are they going to move either to some other city, or what are they going to do? They're going to join the city and say... Right? Meaning, Sir Ray Clapper, I remember once said, he said, what are you talking about? This Gemara isn't about whether the second city will actually die. It's whether the first city has to enable the second city to exist as a separate entity in order for them not to have laundry. Right? That's a very different calculus.
That's okay, yeah. I like that.
Right? Right? You can look at it and just say very practically, right now, I've never seen anyone write that explicitly, but many poskim have said that obviously this sugya can't mean that it's mamash, pikuach nefesh, right? Now, who was the person who read this sugya and said this is mamash pikuach nefesh? That's what we're talking about. Then it's Ziv, right? So in a different tshuva, and this is Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman was, I think, the third Ashkenazi chief rabbi, maybe.
Is he writing on the Ziv?
No, so Rav Unterman wrote an article. He was one of the early chief rabbis of Israel, and he's writing on the general question, which is how do we weigh pikuach nefesh in a communal context? We quote this Gemara, and he says, look, the Netziv thinks that we're dealing with is actually pikuach nefesh, right? And he says, v'niflaim b'einai hadvarim ma'od. Right? That is shocking. That is just shocking. Ki efshar lomar dekan ma'ir b'sakanet nevet mamash acherim yamutu b'tzi ma'od. This sugya cannot be that City 2 will die because you're doing your laundry. He just looks at it. That is his, right? Prior, right? That is just, that is for him a reductio ad absurdum. That cannot be. Really? Your laundry is more important than their lives? They will die of no water? That's the type of person you think Rabbi Yossi is? Are you out of your mind? And therefore he says, okay, sure. So not doing your laundry leads to insanity. Fine. That's not immediate danger. I mean, what are you crazy? What is the Nitziv saying? It's suffix sakana. He's like, that's a suffix sakana. You're just crazy. You're stomp crazy. It's something that might lead to something. You really think that's what it means? That the Nitziv, you think it literally means that city one is allowed to do their laundry and let city two die so they can do their laundry? That is a plausible read of the sugyo. The upper city can just say, yeah, our life is comes first. I mean, like, what, are you crazy? I mean, he said, if that is the way you think about life, no one would ever save their friend. Right? Oh, he's drowning, and I am a trained lifeguard, but I'm going to get wet. I might get hypothermia. It might ruin my clothes, and then I'm going to be short. You know, $50. Oh, and what if in 100 years, $50 is what stands between me and the medicine? I what, are you crazy? He says, if someone is drowning, he said, every lifeguard knows that there is a chance that he might get wet and then be cold and die of hypothermia. I mean, it's possible, right? So therefore, I never have to save anyone when they're drowning. Oh, no, I don't want to get wet. He says, I've never heard that, right? And he says, even if not doing your laundry mamish leads you to go crazy, adayin is sakanat nefesh. He says, still not sakanat nefesh. Being crazy doesn't mean you're dead. He says, mishugahu l'chay l'chol davar, right? An insane person, right, is still alive, right? And he says, even the poskim who think that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save someone from insanity, don't think that because of v'chay b'hem. They think that because of Chalel Alav Shabbat Achak, they should Shemir Shabbat Arbe. Right, they lose mitzvot, right? They use the mitzvah analysis, right? The mitzvah calculus, right? And therefore he says, and we call an Al-Tzrichim Lefarish Sugya B'Nidarim, She'ein Sham Be'met Sakana Krova Lamut B'Tzama, Aval Sevel Rav Inui Gadol. It must be that it's not talking about death. It's talking about the second city will suffer because they'll have to schlep water. And putting in the effort that they will need to do to find water is dangerous, right? And therefore, the Rabbanan say, so kvisa is still not that level of pikuach nefesh. And Rabbi Yossi says, right? No, right? I'm allowed to make them do something which is strenuous and potentially dangerous for my quality of life. When it comes to a tzibur, right, I'm allowed to prioritize my quality of life over their like suffic possible sakana nevich because of the effort they need to put in. Uvaruk, Yushvok, Yisalu, Yadur, Bishomov, and the Chalashop. I'd become Shalit Yilav, Shalit Chabed. He said, therefore, no one's going to say you're allowed to do laundry on Shabbos, which is literally several of the malachot, right? Because it's Pikuach Nefesh. He says, Lachain, Chayem, Kodman, Lenyane, Sevel, Vinu, Shalachirin.
So he just redefines pikuach nefesh, pretty much. Or not pikuach
nefesh. No, he says, at least in the context of tzibur, you have the right to say, right?
No, he's saying it's only at Tzar Gadol. He's saying it's not like...
No, no, he's saying, right, in this Gemara. I mean, not in general. He's saying, in this Gemara, so it doesn't mean mamashi, you know, it's your quality of life can come before their quality of life, even if their quality of life is more severe, right?
So you either redefine chaya nefesh or you define kvisa.
Exactly, right? So he removes this notion. He says, no, it's not, it can't be, right? This Gemara is telling us something about how one society is allowed to weigh the quality of its life compared to the quality of other people's lives, right? But it doesn't tell you, mama, that you can actually prioritize your quality of life over other people's lives, right? Now... Rav Rosen, and I'll come back to Rav Unterman in a minute, Rav Rosen goes into this Gemara and says, you know what? I'm going to zero down even more. Because Rav Rosen, who used to run Soman Institute, do you know what Soman is, you guys went? Did you go this year? Okay, so Soman Institute is basically an institution that is devoted to making halacha livable in the state of Israel. So coming with all types of technological things that will, right, like all the Shabbos pens and Shabbos elevators and Shabbos...
The Shabbos water thing that we
have. Yeah, because like you need to write things down in like the hospital, so they have disappearing ink. So it's only the Rabbanan, right, which you're allowed to do for, right, you know, things like that, right? Or, right, they come up with, right, and so lights like and security, right, all types of different things to make it, to at least make things the Rabbanan.
You're allowed to be over at the rights of a real conflict anyway.
Correct, but if you know in advance, you're not supposed to. Right. First of all, for non-pikuach nefesh, but medical necessities can only violate darabanan. And second of all, if you know in advance you're going to have a pikuach nefesh situation, you still want to minimize the daraisas. Yes. Right? Right? So they're involved in a lot of these things. So at some point, Rav Rosen was approached about fixing... what are you allowed to do to fix water pipes that break on Shabbos? Right? So he looks at this sugya and he says, well, maybe this sugya isn't just about the different ways of understanding pikuach nefesh, as Rav Tendler has it in the context of the tzibur, or even how you weigh quality of life, you know, versus quality of life, as Rav Unterman has it, right? Maybe this sugya is specifically as it appears in the Yerushalmi, right? In the Bavli, this is not clear, but in the Yerushalmi, what's 100% clear? That this Gemara isn't a general discussion about quality of life. It's a discussion about quality and quantity of life as it expresses itself in the context of water, specifically, right? Water, and not just water for drinking, but what is the conversation that we're telling me about? Water and its need in other circumstances, because it's about drinking, it's about animal drinking, it's about laundry, right? That's in the Yerushalmi, it's very clear that this discussion is coming about to really ask the conceptual question, which is what is the role of water in society? Right? And is the need for water somehow unique such that it has different standards? Right? Right? So Rosen says, well, since he was being asked about water, right? So he goes to our sugya. Again, I'm not going to read the whole article, right? But he says that water for drinking is definitely chayi nefesh, right? And what's his proof? That the classic case of your life versus other people's lives is Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi is, right? You need water in the desert. But he said, what our Yerushalmi introduces, right, especially the Yerushalmi, is what? Wait, what does he say? Raises, especially it appears in the Yerushalmi, that what? Right, he says, remember, what's the context in the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi, how did the Yerushalmi get into this discussion? Is what is the legitimate hana'a for Shemitah, which counts as Chayei Nefesh, and then invokes this discussion. It's clear in the Yerushalmi, right, it's not like it started because of Nefesh, it started by the need for water of Kfisa, whether it counts for Shemitah. The Yerushalmi is asking the fundamental question is, how do we view the benefit you get from water more broadly? Right, it's bringing in a seeming Pikuach Nefesh discussion to answer a Shaila in Shviat. Right, but it's bringing it in as a Nafkamina in Shviat, right, which is not the extreme. Which shows you that the Yerushalmi is having a much broader discussion about the role of water, right? Even in non-eating, drinking contexts, right? So he says, once you look at that, what does this Yerushalmi introduce? The possibility that water, right? It's implicit in the Bavli and even more explicit in the Yerushalmi, is that water, even if it's non-drinking context, is considered more essential to life, especially the life of a society, than other things. That's why the Gemara can have this discussion about laundry, about bathing, about, right?
Then
right?
On a practical level, if it was just you and one other person, you were from the city, like you were from your city, and it was your water, and then some other person was coming to your city, you would put yourself last because it's not a societal level.
Then. Right, so that's the question. So that's in the Bavli. In the Yerushalmi, it's not clearer, right? Because in the Yerushalmi, the how the tzibur deals with water is a nafkamina and how the individual treats water in Shemitah. Right? And therefore, it could just be a broader statement about the necessity of water. Right? And he notes that Marsham sees this reads this into the Yerushalmi. And therefore he argues that, look, in general, right, the Divrei Yatziv says explicitly that in general, no one would say that your pain comes before someone else's life. The only reason that by water you can say it is because apparently the needs that water brings are considered chayei nefesh in a way that they aren't, right? Elsewhere, and he notes it. Rav Avadya says this as well.
Oh.
Right, and he quotes, right, many different poskim. He quotes Moshe Feinstein. He quotes, right, now again, he does know that many poskim are reticent to say that this is a case where they're actually going to die. So Chaim Oser Gradensky says that, or Bunderman says it. But based on all of this, now he says, therefore, what does that lead to? Right, what that leads to is the way everyone else reads the sugya is that water is necessary, but Rav Unterman, Rav Moshe, right, they all reject the more extreme Rav Tendler claim, and they say, what this sugya is teaching is that water is a higher level of pikuach nefesh than other things, but even for non-drinking purposes. But what is the common denominator between Rav Unterman, Rav Chaim Oser, etc.? But it's not mamash bikoach nefesh, right? It's not mamash bikoach nefesh. And therefore, if the other people were really going to die, you wouldn't be allowed to drink, give it to them, right? Right? And therefore, So therefore he says, right? So he comes back to Rav Unterman. He says, Varur ki vishvil ki sa lo yatir bishum ofin l'chal shabbat. He says, So if you agree with that analysis, then Rav Unterman continues, and he says, therefore, what emerges is, it's not mamash bikoach nefesh, and that's not what this sugya is doing, it's just showing you how water is a higher level on the totem pole than other things, right? And therefore allows more, but not everything. So then Rav Unterman says, what's the conclusion? Not in the your city versus their city, but that you can't be mechal Shabbat to get water for laundry, right? But the implication would be that, let's say you would need water for drinking, then you would, right? So therefore, what's his conclusion? Right, so what's his conclusion? So based on that whole analysis by Rav Unterman, he says, what we see in our sugya is that water has a higher status than other things and might be, therefore, right, in Shemitah it has unique status, right? Therefore, you're allowed to do more for water than you are for other things. You might be allowed to do your laundry before other, right? You might be allowed to prefer your laundry over other people's extreme pain, maybe not death, right? But the second you take any analysis like that, then it's not mamash bikoach nefesh. And now coming to his shaila, right? So what maskana would you derive from the sugya for what happens when water pipes break on Shabbat? So here's his conclusion. I'll give you his six conclusions that he gets from these sugyot. One, aspakat mayim sidira lo chlusya hitzarach kiyuni lo kol safek. Giving water to a society is clearly necessary. Bevadak Hashem nivar leizor shalem Hashem uzem nivashet rabban Hashem and Hashem zekenim vataf. Right, especially when there's all types of people living in the society. But two, ef shalomar Hashem nivar pikuach nevesh mufhak. It's still not mamash pikuach nevesh. Kol zman shein chol lefanenu. As long as there isn't a sick person dying, sovel mi choser Mayim, who doesn't have water. But the standards of Pikuach Nefesh are still different, as we saw from right Rav Tendler's statistical analysis. Right? Two, Matzinu dat Rav Yossi. We have Rav Yossi. Shafilo mayim lekvisa nechsham tzarach chiyuni. Even laundry, according to Rav Yossi, is necessary to the point where he uses the calculus of chayei acherim. Right? And something the Rambam postens that way. He says, however you want to interpret that, it tells you that mayim heim mitz matzrei chashuv v'yoter, that it is more important than other things, right? Even when it's not sakanat mavet. Four, lo mitkabel adat l'rod v'kalel v'kalel mayim chashash l'sakanat nefashod ad kidei d'chiyat esir tere. So you said, what's the conclusion he then derives from our sugya? is that if the water pipe breaks on Shabbat, he thinks that it's not mamash pikuach nefesh, and therefore you can't violate isurim d'oraita. Achein aspakat mayim shotefet al yidei rashut amuna al kach yicholach shed letzarach gadol, but it is a very, very big tzarech, and therefore, what right certain times when things are not quite pikuach nefesh, but they're really, really necessary, what do? Derabanan. Exactly. Is that the type of nebulous spot where we allow derabanan, but not d'oraita? And therefore, he says, five, and therefore, we should find either derabanan or two derabanans. V'chein bitzua peulot b'shinui, right? Or doing things with a shinui. V'tochzua b'tziru machshir halach tekni. And six, imigul and chayot l'tipul rishonit dachov, but the government is amishir derabanan, shinui grom of chayot to be ishmakom layanot menas hafeik, lo tzarech l'kom ma'i ramat chinur, and midiakom mekresh yizdamim. He said, once you set up the mechanisms, right, that make it the derabanan, you can have the benefit of the doubt and violate a derabanan, even if you're not sure it rises to the level, right? Because once you say that water is unique, right, and therefore it's enough to violate a derabanan, you can assume that you've already in that situation, even if it's borderline, right? You can be suffik lahakil, right?
This doesn't give you a framework of like how long it is for like the laundry. Like, is this laundry just on like a? Because like, obviously they did laundry a lot
right.
more.
Right, so that's the problem. The sugya doesn't say like how long, right? How long is this going, right? Obviously right. That's part of the problem. In this, because
like
in
you could also read it pretty easily, right? You could just read it like, oh, eventually if you don't need laundry, if you don't do your laundry because you keep giving other people your water,
right? And that's the question: is strong, long term, short term? Obviously, however you read the sugya, you have to deal with those. So what I wanted to show you this sugya, I'll take your question, Josh, right? Guys, right? What I wanted to show you in this sugya is that this sugya, remember I told you it would be a weird shir, but this Yushalmi and the Bavli are so shocking, right? You see why everyone who's reading it, it's clear that that something here is making a broad claim, right? Either a very broad claim about quality of life of a society overriding actual Bigoach Nefesh, or we define Bigoach Nefesh differently because of the statistics, or water is close to Bigoach Nefesh, right? Right? Whatever it is, it's making a broader claim. And therefore, you can derive very far-reaching conclusions from a fair analysis of this sugya. Okay? So I showed you Rav Tendler's, I showed you Rav Unterman's, and I showed you Rav Rosen's. Right? Obviously, there are other analyses, but I wanted to at least, for one day, give you a snapshot of the types of conversations that happen here. Yeah. Okay, go.
Okay, the last few minutes of Shir got cut off. But the last point that I made was that the simple shot of this Yerushalmi is that the halachot that we've detailed here are in fact not per se a product of Pikuach Nefesh for the individual. But as we've mentioned at several points that emerges from several of these analyses, the issue really is Pikuach Nefesh for the tzibur. And I think that emerges from the drasha that is offered here. Whereas classically, definitely the Bavli, but this already appears earlier in Midrash Halacha, the preference of yourself versus somebody else. In the case of Pikuach Nefesh, Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Peteres from Bechei Echecha Imach, that your life comes first. However, rather than need that drasha or some other drasha that relates to the individual, the Yerushalmi's drasha to justify this entire sugya is very much about the city. So the Yerushalmi says, the Yehuda Yishchutzi Avatimir B'ma'artha Tlata Yomen. Yehuda from Chutzi locked himself up alone for 3 days in a cave, by the makim aladin taima, to understand these above halachot. Minayin shechayir azot kodmin lechayir acheret. How do you know that the life of one city precedes that of the other? Atul legaber biyosi brachalafta. So he came to Yosi brachalafta and amarle heinaveita. So he said, where have you been? Amarle avada tamir bamarta tlata yomin by the makim aladin taima. Minayin shechayir Chayeir Hazot Kodmin Lechayeir Acheret. He said, I was locked up in a cave trying to figure out these halachot. How do I know that the life of a city is preferred over the life of those in another city? Kara Lerebi Avor Demius Brave Amar Leagav Hein Taim Aminayin Shechayeir Hazot Kodmin Lechayeir Acheret. So he called his son and he said, so what's the halach? Amar Le Tiene Harim Haile. These cities, quoting a pasuk in Yeshua, these cities shall be puns or plays on Tihyena for with a switching the hay for Chet Tihyena, it shall live. Ir va ir, each city, va acharkach, migrashas vivota. The city has the right to care about itself and only that which is outside of it. Only then that which is outside of it. Amarle, mangar amlach. And then he said, why is it that you didn't know this halacha? Dilo, you laughed, im chavirach, because you didn't learn with your friends. And therefore, you see that at least the drasha that is focused on here in the Yerushalmi is about the life of a city before that of others. And therefore, you really do see this this idea. Now, again, does that mean it argues on the drasha of Achei Echicha Imach? I don't know. But what I do know is that the focus of the drasha is on the life of a city, which I think really bolsters the idea that the drasha that are being offered here are for a city, for national life, and the uniqueness of a community, which is central to much of the analysis that we've seen. I think other details can be drawn out of these drashot, but for now we will suffice with that. I'm sorry if anything else was missed when the recording cut out, but hopefully this summarizes at least the main point to the end of that Yerushalmi.